So I guess that's that for this episode.
What episode was this?
The one we just recorded. What is it? It's 73. Yeah, I had to look it up again. But I guess I don't know. Final thoughts, Brian?
Well, this was a lot of fun to do. I had a great time going over everything, and I really hope that this was just as much fun for you guys out there as it was for us.
Yeah.
And I hope Dirk is okay.
Mm-hmm. Dirk, you doing lines or something, man? What was that?
I was getting ready to yawn, and I was trying not to, like, make it loud.
Oh, so you made a loud yawn suppression sound.
Sorting, yeah. Sort of, yeah.
I mean, guys, don't blow my cover. Warner Brother.
I'm going to the bathroom again. Shut up. I actually have to pee this time.
I'm afraid I now have any more thoughts whatsoever, final or otherwise. So, Mike, or somebody.
Yes. It's been a while since we just outright laughed this much while we were doing an episode.
That is a good sign.
Yeah, well, part of it was because we had some goofy things to talk about, but they were certainly intellectually stimulating goofy things.
Well,
at least in my
opinion. Of them were.
Well, yes, some of them. But, interesting. I look forward to listening to it, listening back to it myself.
I know Mike's trying to stifle a yawn, too. Did you hear that?
I've been working night shift over the weekend, and I forgot to turn on any lights, and now it's dark.
And now, my impression of Mike. Thank you. I've got to quit with the sound effects. I'm sure you guys are sick of them by now. How about you, Dirk? Thanks, Dirk. No, sorry, keep going. Yeah.
I'm getting close. No one on the Manipool condones drug use.
I did take some.
We're being serious.
Not even prescription.
I did take some. Some. I guess it's acetaminophen earlier because my legs hurt because of this new job. Okay.
Well,
we can
condone that, okay. But not anything else. It's nice getting to go through and look at some of these old cards. I haven't seen them in a while.
Yeah, well, few have.
I know. I have to kind of dust off some materials to find them.
Yeah.
Like brain cells?
That too.
I don't even want to think about dusting off my brain cells. Do you have to think real hard about a feather duster? I'm thinking of Pledge. Anyway. As for my final thoughts, this is probably not the best time to do this so close to the binder pull, but hopefully the listeners will understand, since this really has nothing to do with the binder pull, really, once you get down to it, you know?
It's true.
Oh, well. So, the music – I played the music at the beginning, didn't I? Okay.
Yeah.
And then I guess are we done?
Work? Yeah.
I think so.
All right then. Well, thank you all very much for listening as always. All of you coming from the MTGcast site as well as or feed or whatever, as well as those of you who are directly on our feed and those of you who have been with us forever and ever. We appreciate all of you very much. Let us know you're out there, would you? You know, I went over all that at the beginning. But, yeah, thank you all very much for listening, and go play some Magic. You guys remember AJ?
Who?
Yeah, that's funny. Anyway.
Well, one of the reasons that I picked this card was because it does a whole lot of things that it's just not supposed to. I mean, come on. It's just not supposed to do that. Only it does it in such a way that it's not broken at all.
It's actually the opposite of broken.
What?
broken in the sense that it doesn't work.
Like, now that, get the toolkit, man.
That's, well, that's not entirely, well, I mean, you know, this could,
I know,
be,
that's a bit harsh.
Not really. I mean, I could see this being really good in like 1 out of 100 million games. But that was a fluke. So,
okay, no, I mean, you could totally build a deck around this. Since, what is it with green? Since it's so green, it's so incredibly green. Dude, you could totally throw it in a deck with Primal Crux. I win. No. But I mean, with all of the mana production that green has, you know, you could get you 8 elves in a deck and make this thing bad. Like, good bad.
Well, this combos, and I use the term loosely, with Heartbeat of Spring, and if you've only got, you know, if you play the Heartbeat of Spring and you untap, and, you know, even though this thing costs 3 to play, you could automatically use that first ability so that you don't have to worry about that mana burn.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's that.
There's that. And the next turn you could swing for 1 million or, you know, 8.
8, 1 million.
But you're
still higher than 7.
It is. You're confusing people.
Yeah. If you really don't want to use Blaze or Maga Trader to Mortals.
Leaf Ball. Man, there's a lot of buzz about this card.
It's like, it could go into...
wait, hang on, I got it. Wait, it's right here. Where, oh crap, I lost it. Oh no, I did lose it.
We're just waiting for Shuri to get up to speed. But no, I mean, like, if... And Shuri invokes...
There we go. The horde's coming, get out of the way!
But anyway, before we go too far afield, although we're already there, like, in Dark's X deck, I guess, if you wanted to use this instead of...
Screw a hurricane!
And if things are getting really bad, you know, you just you make this thing huge and you attack and they're like fog, well then you can still go, man, take two.
Oh.
If Dirk really wanted to show off, he could hurricane and make this guy big enough to survive it.
You know, that's awesome.
Yeah, I think Dark, if you play this card in that deck, you're a jerk.
Not because it's too good, just because you're a jerk.
Yeah, this is not a card that's too good, that's for sure.
But, wow. But like you said, it does lots of things that green isn't supposed to. And, I mean, it's not a shade, really, now. And the fact that it...
No.
I mean, it replicates a spell... Yeah. Pretty much exactly.
Yeah.
Well, except for the sorcery.
That and the initial, you know, 3 mana cost to play the guy. But still, it's an old combat
trick. Ooh. Still not better than Nantuko Shade.
Well, few things are. It might be better. No, it's not better than... Is it better than Frozen Shade?
Yeah, I guess it has to be.
Yes, it has to be. Yeah, I think almost by definition. Of course, you're not.
Frozen Shade
is on the ground and is a 1/1 with no evasion. It's an 0/1.
But it,
yeah, never mind.
Yeah, but at least it's in black.
I don't know. It's little leaf ball. Man. Well, is that enough for our stinging commentary on this?
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be the bad joke sound from now on. We don't need a rim shot. We don't need the wah wah. No, we have a booing crowd. Yes, I'll pay you guys after we're done recording. Thanks. The crowd is getting restless. they're pulling overtime. They didn't expect to have to work this much. Oh, man.
Now, I happen to really like Batman Begins and The Dark Knight.
Oh, well, remind me not to say anything bad about Christian Bale.
Nah.
Dude, you know what? We should totally go off on lots of tangents. Okay.
Yeah, that's nothing new for us.
Yeah, that's not exactly anything special.
What was that, Mike?
I said, I remember when we did that once. That was awesome.
Man, the music for the show is just getting better and better. Who's next? What's next?
All right,
who are you people?
We got one more card to go through. So let's get right to it. You guys know the drill by now. Unyaro Bees. Yes, that's right. Unyaro Bees. They cost 3 green, and they're 0/1 with fly.
Yes.
Boot.
Already, anytime you see green and flying together, you're like, okay, that's an insect. You can pay a green. Unyaro Bees gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And you can pay 3 and a green, 3 colorless and a green, and sacrifice Unyaro Bees and to have Unyaro Bees deal 2 damage to target creature or player.
I really love this card because I was around for both of the cards that this is based off of.
Right. Which were?
The Unyaro Bee Sting from the tree, Mirage, which is that last ability. For 3 and a green, it deals 2 damage to target creature or player as a sorcery. And then there's Killer Bees, which cost 1 and 2 green for a 0/1 flying, with the green shade ability there. So it's a really nice little, as they were in Time Spiral, it's a nice little homage to both cards.
Yeah, I think the original Bee Sting might have only hit players. Let me look it up.
No, it's creature or player. I've got it open.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, green, green direct damage.
Green shock.
I used to play against AJ, and AJ loved Unyaro Bee Sting because it was direct damage in green.
And you never saw it coming. He's like, and I'll shock that. And we're like, oh, come on!
Using my forests.
But as far as the bees themselves, I think I might have used them in a Time Spiral sealed event of some sort because they're, you know, flying.
I believe I got them in my Time Spiral sealed deck for the pre-release, and I did not run them because I was nowhere close to being in triple green, and I said, and I haven't really seen much of them since.
They would be so great, though. One, the green flying. Okay, in a mono green deck, if you could, but I shouldn't get into that yet.
History.
Ugh, bollocks.
History. I think I have one. I'm not sure. That's about it.
this is one of those cards that you're flipping through your binder and you're like, oh yeah, and then you flip to the next page.
These are the ones that when you see them when you're doing a binder pull, you just keep on going.
yeah, pretty much. I mean, like a long time ago, you know, of course, when I was newer, I played my copy of Killer Bees hard, so I would, in the same situation, I would also play Unyaro Bees pretty seriously, but doesn't really go anywhere right now.
How much did Killer Bees cost to play?
1 and 2 green.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah. I got nothing. I have no history with this thing. I have no experience with this thing. I may have, like I said, going green in a Time Spiral sealed or a draft or something, but probably not.
Yeah, the only time I've seen it was against AJ.
We weren't playing with AJ in Time Spiral, yeah?
Wasn't?
Weren't we?
I don't think.
Wait, when was Time Spiral?
I guess not.
I don't think AJ was around.
Yeah.
He wouldn't, no.
Well, I swear I've seen them somewhere, but
AJ's listening to this like, screw you guys, you don't even remember when I left.
It's not that we don't remember when you were with us, it's we don't remember when Time Spiral came out.
Time Spiral came out, oh, I should know this. I think 2006.
Really?
Why do you guys remember better than me?
He's probably looked it up. Anyway. So, I have nothing else to say about that. Dude, we should totally all start making jokes about songs involving the word dancing. Nah. It's too silly.
Yeah.
I'll think about it. I'll think about it.
You'll think about it. Okay. One, any sort of card, no matter how pointless, that can, well, I guess that can
make more.
Yeah, that can keep on showing up is going to be at least sort of useful.
I love the sort of not only the clone ability, but the interaction with clone.
I don't really know if that's a clone ability.
Not really. Well, no.
brain shutting down. Layers.
Exactly like this, except not at all.
If Green was going to do clone, this might be how it does it.
I hate meaning not at all. Meaning not at all. So, yeah, I mean, you're going to clog up the ground. That's what you do.
Yeah, you can use all the guys for stuff.
Yeah, I guess if you've got a, what's the soul, the Essence Warden out, sure.
Or that big guy we were talking about earlier.
Or the yeah.
Ooh! I just built a deck. It's 15 colors. Oh god, it's another 4-color deck.
You know, I'm gonna say a card here, and you're gonna think I'm crazy, but hey.
I already think you're crazy, so go for it.
Rolling Stones.
Yeah, you're crazy. Maybe a couple of guys' anthems in there while you're at it.
Neuroweave is probably the better solution now.
Oh my head.
Mike, you're evil. That's pretty official now.
Except with the mirror weave, any blocking that goes on is going to cause, oh my god.
No. I mean when it's actually time to attack mirror weave.
Oh, okay.
See, here
I thought you could do it that way too. I thought about that, but I didn't want to say it because I know it would make you guys sad.
Well, here, just so we're clear, I thought you were talking about making everything in play into one of these.
That'd be pretty hilarious.
Yeah, if you want to give your opponent a million guys, then sure, go for it.
Yeah, I'm calling it hilarious in a sort of like Ink Treader Nephilim sort of way.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it is exactly that kind of hilarious, especially my head hurts.
Now there's a combo. Ink Treader Nephilim and this guy.
Fool said, oh, shut up. And what do? You cast Flare to ping everything for one and draw a card.
Oh.
You could draw a crap load of cards.
And deck yourself.
And the beginning of the next upkeep.
But then you'd have no shortage of itty bitty guys.
Did you mirror weave first? I'm confused.
Well, if you had a couple of those guys out already. Because remember, that one damage is enough that not only are you getting more, but you still have the other.
Yeah, that's why I said Flare. I couldn't think of anything that only dealt one. Because if you deal it two, it's too late. So, yeah.
Zap was the updated version of Flare. It was printed in Invasion, I think.
Oh, yeah. That lets you draw the card immediately. Mm-hmm. See, I wasn't playing then.
Zap.
Flare was terrible. What, it cost 3 to do one and draw a card later?
Yeah.
What does Zap cost?
3.
But you get to draw a card right away.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Zap.
Did it have an exclamation point?
No.
Okay, good. It wasn't Zap. It was Zap.
No, if it had an exclamation point, it would have been in an unset. Like, Zap!
No, Two Arms was printed in a guild pack. Or yeah. I can't remember.
One of those. I think it was guild pack.
Oh, Two Arms. I think it was guild pack.
Anyway, tangent.
I was thinking of extra arms. That's why I was like, Two Arms? That's the normal amount.
Tangent. So, to sum up, this guy is basically useless, but if you can deal damage without killing it, so, one, you can greatly increase your investment.
Much more than, like, say, you know, Bond these days.
Ooh. Is that an AIG joke?
No, it was a
joke. I thought we were above that sort of thing. Oh, I didn't see Quantum of Solace, and it came out on DVD. Uh-huh. Squanto bought it, and I was going to borrow it from him, but he bought it on Blu-ray. Sorry.
So I was thinking he was talking about Barry Bonds.
See? That could work as a joke, too. Anyway.
Although we've been covering chemical bonds.
Also anyway. Barry Bonds.
I see what you did there. It took me a minute. Anyway. Are we done summing up now? Because I think our listeners hate us at this point.
Are you sure?
Let's hope so. I hate us at this point.
There's just a lot of potential here, but none of it is actually written on the card. You have to find it somewhere else.
Yeah. It's all in your mind.
Oh, man, is there anything when a creature comes into play hurt somebody?
Probably.
Well, thanks for clearing that up.
Pandemonium.
Except that wouldn't work.
At all. But hey, Pandemonium and Glorious Anthem. And, you know, you just
what
made
was
a
the
ridiculously complicated combo.
What was the artifact that for every copy you get, for every copy of that type, it gets plus one? All creatures of that type get plus
Coat
one, plus
Coat of Arms.
One.
Coat of Arms. Oh, there you go.
Oh, there you go. So you play Coat of Arms and then Pandemonium. And then, I don't know, Pyroclast. And then you win.
That's funny.
If you want to make the game never end, you play Aether Flash before you play this.
No, it says May. So if it says May, you have to choose a number, then stop. It can't go infinite if it says May.
Oh, okay.
Are you talking about the card itself? I was like, Aetherflash doesn't say May. That's the point.
No, yeah, the card itself says May, so you can't go infinite unless it's a mandatory action.
That's
okay. But you can do it enough times to make everyone hate you.
Yes.
Just so we're clear.
Lord.
Okay.
Yeah, I think we're done with this one.
Oh, yeah.
And here is what the audience is going to think when they find out we're finally done. Wasn't that cool?
Yes. Too bad we're not even
close. We're not even close. Now this is what the audience is thinking.
I'm not dead.
You're just in love with these sound effects. You've got all high tech on.
I just discovered. Dude, those sound effects are in Pamela. They're in the recorder. That wasn't. I don't know what that was. Oh, okay. Anyway.
That was me. Sorry.
We should have a special guest host, the Samuel Jackson soundboard.
I don't think we can play that. I don't think that's appropriate.
Not even close.
Maybe you can use the Arnold Schwarzenegger one.
We could get the Christian Bale flipping out at the director of photography, but that's not even remotely appropriate. Do you want to dance and hold my hand? I'm so sorry.
That's so retro.
I am retro.
You love me now that I can dance?
Private dancer? Dancer for money? Do what you want me to do? How about we go to the next card?
Last night, a little dancer came dancing through my door. Anyway. what we have here is Sprouting Phytohydra. Man, I got something all up in. Okay, Sprouting Phytohydra.
If you just say, man, I got something all up in my.
Yes, he did.
Anyway. It costs 4 and 1 green. Total 5. It's a creature. It's a plant hydra. Those are some nice types. it's a rare from Dissension. That's the Dissension symbol, right? Yes.
It is not an uncommon, though.
It is not a Dissension uncommon.
You will not get one of these for free from John Brzozowski.
Unless he just has way too many of them already and says whatever. But anyway, Plant Hydra. It's a 0/2 with Defender. So a 0/2 with Defender that costs 5. So there has to be something interesting going on here. And there is, trust me. Whenever Sprouting Phytohydra is dealt damage, you may put a token into play that is a copy of Sprouting Phytohydra. Which means it also has that ability, of course.
Of course.
Of course. And each token has that ability.
I was very amused when I first saw this. I was like, wow, you can get a lot of plants there. I don't know what you do with them, but you can get a lot of them.
Clog up the ground.
Now, just so we're clear, if I shock a Sprouting Phytohydra...
Phytohydra.
You then get a copy.
And the first one will die.
Mm-hmm. But you still get that copy, so that's pretty cool.
And now you've got one in your graveyard, assuming that they shock the original, which I guess sort of makes sense. Not really. If you shock the original, they could always bring it back.
Well, in theory, any direct damage, you know, is going to result in a new copy.
True.
So,
but when I first saw this, they had already done the Phytohydra in I think that was in Ravnica.
It was.
And I was like, dude, I could totally build a green and white and red deck and have stupid numbers of these guys clogging up the ground while my now huge Phytohydra that's not sprouting could crush people. And I actually built the deck, and it was terrible, and I unbuilt the deck. So, yeah. But, I mean... I don't know. Did anybody ever do anything with this?
I think I tried to build a deck with it as well, and I don't know that I ever succeeded.
Huh.
I think I had this whenever I, was the pre-release. Whenever I was building my deck, I think I had one of these in it. And, I mean, it wasn't bad, but it was definitely one of those things where it wasn't going to win me the game. I think, more or less, it just kind of like, kept me afloat.
Yeah, that's what 0/2 walls do.
Well, again, you know, you can't waste a burn spell on it, or
you're an idiot. And you know, if there's already 3 copies out, for God's sake, don't play a pyroclasm.
Because then they get 3 more. So, but the interesting thing is when you we'll get more into that in a second, I think.
Yeah. Any more? I don't know, like personal history with the Sprouting Phytohydra?
Not really.
No, I never used it.
Yeah. I actually remember going to a lot of effort to get 4 copies of each of the Phytohydras. Man. Well, not like effort, but, dude, you've got one, I want it. You know. I'm a dork.
Active trading.
Okay. I really thought it would have more toughness. To get out of range of more, out of range of more burn.
With the power you're getting for that cost, I mean,
yeah,
you can't do much more on the back end. You just can't.
Or it would cost more, even in green.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I don't think you really saw around the time that this was burn, regular burn that was going to handle that though.
I can't even think of – well, I bet there was burn at that point.
Well, yeah,
but I can't think of any burn spells that were around at that point.
We're talking about prior to Rift Bolt being played a lot prior to some of the other big ones around then. This is back before they brought back Incinerate, mind you.
Yeah, so, the only burn that was big enough wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Think
about that. So, but – again, it's the antlers, you know, that's what we're talking about here.
Yeah, and that evasion is terribly limited. I mean, it's stupidly limited, but at the time, it was almost guaranteed to hit once.
Right. And once it's on, it's pretty much like, you know, always on. It's like you flip the switch and you're like, hello.
The thing is, outside of that environment, it's impossible to do anything with that evasion ability.
Oh, yeah. Once you go outside the box.
Besides donating or otherwise exchanging stuff.
Yeah, once you go outside the block, it becomes it's laughable. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, it's like what you got. It's very specialized, and if nobody has it, was looking for, then it's this, you know, just it's that that mana could be spent better on other things.
That's true.
You know, like
there are better attackers. There are better defenders.
What did it cost? Five.
Cost five.
Yeah, I mean, what can you get in green? You can get a Mastodon for five.
I mean, you could get the, what is it, the Kami Root Trap? The Troop Rat?
Trap Root? That costs one.
I know, for one, you could get a wall that will block.
But this thing was never made to block. This thing was made to drop down and kill someone.
Yeah, it charges.
So for five.
That's why she's the last visitor.
Maybe so for five, I could play a, was it the Rocks Rhino? No, what is the Rhino that has the Thorn Elemental ability?
The Rocks.
Yeah, Rocks. There we go.
The Rocks something or other. It was
the Rocks. Oh,
yeah, Rocks.
So, but I mean, that's five, right?
Yeah. No, wait, isn't that more?
What, the rocks? I thought the rocks cost six.
Yeah, I thought the rocks cost six.
Yeah. Anyway. But, I mean, even so, for an additional mana, you get something that's basically guaranteed to hit your opponent for a little bit less, but it's got a much, much, unless they can kill it, it's going to hit them. They're rocks in that case. This thing might hit them.
Or am I just... Rux is also extremely difficult to kill.
That's true.
But this thing...
Toughness and the regenerate. And...
Rux is either going to... Is always going to hit as long as, you know, it can untap. This thing is either not going to hit ever or it's going to hit every time.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a distinction or not.
But I mean, really, how many people play? Okay, Thanks. Admittedly, this form of evasion would work against a good four of my decks. Because, I mean, I've got that, my discard deck has two copies of the, everyone draw a card one.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, maybe just one, because I had those in another deck, but I took that deck apart. And I can't... I guess I might have some... Everything's a Swamp. That one.
Yeah.
Might have a couple of those in a deck, but I can't remember if I actually do or not.
I think you still see those every now and then, like the one you just mentioned. And they tend to show up, but they're definitely few and far between, which is kind of the pull point.
But if you were going to play green in some sort of casual block constructed for this block, oh, man, then you'd everybody playing green would have to throw at least two in the deck.
Yeah.
Because, it would be unblockable.
I like unblockable.
Everybody's going to be playing some and enable the evasion, so it – I mean – if you can hit for seven every turn without thinking about it, come on.
Or more.
Or more. Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
There were some pretty decent pump spells in that block. I do remember that.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, look at what she is. She could even have gotten, like, +4/+4 and trample.
I know that I'm supposed to catch something there. Was this a piece of equipment or something?
No.
It's one of the pump spells.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Mike caught it, though.
Anyway. But the only thing is, though, if anybody else is playing green, they're going to be playing them, too. And so neither of you are going to have any. Stupid legends. Oh, well. I think I don't know. I personally am never going to use it.
Nope.
Yeah, me neither.
Yeah. I also think that Brian is typing because you can hear that.
Sorry, I should really go on Twitter and stuff later. Except I'm not on Twitter. What am I doing?
Nothing.
Email. Oh, that's right. Anyway, I think we have dropped far too many hints. Like they say at the end of every case in Ghost Hunters, and it's really annoying, he's like, good job, brother. On to the next.
Wait, no, that wasn't fast forward. That sounded like a tape. But one of those old school ones. What's an old school tape?
An 8-track?
No, I was thinking that.
A wax maybe. Cylinder.
Oh, you mean the old school CDs?
Yeah.
A record.
A record. There we go.
Yeah. Oh, I was going too far back.
Oh, wow. Okay. Wax cylinder.
All right, so what's our next card?
I guess the music was appropriate for this episode. Anyway.
I've got the next one. It's Ayumi the Last Visitor. Cost 3 and 2 green. It's a legendary creature spirit. It's a 7/3 with legendary landwalk.
Oh, it's a 7/3? For some reason, I thought it was a 7/4.
Nah, it wouldn't be that good.
Obviously not.
Well, it's not played to really have that much toughness. It's played, in theory, to be a 7-point burn spell every turn after the turn you play it, at least in the environment.
Mm. I personally have never played with this card.
Neither have I.
The only time I saw it played was in a Savior's draft I was in.
Did it hurt anyone?
I really don't know. This guy had built a deck that was mostly green, but with the green stuff I was getting past, I thought that I was the only one playing green at the table, so I don't know what his deck looked like.
See, I saw this guy in a sideboard once or twice during Saviors and that sort of thing. And it was basically just because people were having like one or two copies of some of the legendary lands in their deck because there was no reason not to.
Yeah, and there were four like, hey, in Saviors alone, legendary lands, that is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, especially like Mirren the Moaning Well, and
Mikakoro.
Maybe Mikakoro more than Mirren, but.
So. And that blue one that everybody played, Minamu School at Water's Edge, that was in Champions.
Yeah.
That was right. A one of in every deck that ever played blue ever back then, whether it was draft or constructed or whatever.
It was, and it really didn't do much. It occasionally did something like pumped a legendary dragon or something like that. But it was also just like, hey.
What? No, the blue one lets you.
Oh, that was the untap.
Untap target legendary permanent, yeah. Right.
Sorry. But, well, you could actually use that with the green one, which gives a legendary creature +1/+1. But, it was more just like, hey, you know, I've got this land. There was no downfall to having it, and occasionally you would strip mine the other guy's land, I guess. But so then this thing would come in, and that land that really doesn't serve a purpose is suddenly, you know, holding it back. Bingo. It's a 7/3 for 5. That's – you fear the front end at least.
Yeah.
You fear the antlers.
Man, that record needle is really ticking me off. Now, the upkeep is really, it's really manageable. I mean, people play with the, well, I mean, just last episode we talked about how my Lord of the Pit had been replaced with three other things.
Devouring Strosis and
Leaves Doom of the Pit.
Doomgate. Yeah.
Doom.
And this is even more, I guess, forgiving, more
flexible.
There you. That's the word. Yeah. Thank you. I had the right letter to start with.
Bendy.
Bendy. And
it might look bad at first because, you know, if you were to see something like that, like on a, if you were to see words like that on a targeted removal spell, then you'd be like, oh man,
that's but terrible.
It's different. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, targeted removal. Okay. Mm-hmm.
But there's ways to, like, I mean, first of all, you know, it's not so bad. But then there's also ways to turn that into, you know, an advantage.
Yeah.
So,
I would not consider myself a fan of this card, but...
Oh, poor Dirk.
I know.
But the problem is trying to get through.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, in black, I guess you could give it fear easily.
But yeah. You want to get off that second one, that second thing, so bad. I mean, pretty much like the whole point.
You have to hit with it for this thing to even remotely be worth it. If they've got a string of jump blockers, well, it's completely pointless.
Well, I wouldn't say completely. I mean, the size for its cost, not that bad.
Not that bad. Not that bad. I mean, you do get that extra point of toughness, essentially.
Basically. Again, in black.
Yeah.
So...
But
yeah, it's a good size body for black.
Yeah, and even if you don't hit with it, essentially this what it really says is, your opponent sacrifices a creature every turn because they want to block it, so they're gonna throw something in front of it. Even if you don't have a way to get it through.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it creates a wake of dead bodies, which is rather appropriate for it, don't you think?
Whoa, that's too bad that. I already picked the music, or I would see if I could use Dead Bodies Everywhere by Korn.
I had a feeling you were going to say that.
Yeah, although I couldn't use that, I'm pretty sure that's inappropriate for the show. But
yeah.
But...
yeah. Well, the one thing I didn't realize before, this doesn't target.
No, correct. It does. Oh, it doesn't. Wow.
It doesn't say target on it at all.
I didn't even notice.
Nowhere.
So you're giving...
That does make it kind of worth it.
Mike, what were you going to say?
Well, to me, that... like if you were expecting something to say target somewhere on it, to me, that'd make it a bit... as open as it is, you're giving your opponent...
too much control.
Control over, over what the end result is. But, you know... I guess you'd say the amplitude of the end result kind of makes up for that in terms of the control you give up over it.
Well, in black, you should be kind of like wasting some of their stuff already. So
yeah, like I would back this up with, you know, like to get the blockers out of the way and get other stuff out of the way. I would back this up with things like, you know, Barter and Blood or Cruel Edict or things like that.
Oh, I was just about to say that.
Nicol Bolas Planeswalker.
Be quiet.
So, yeah.
So, I mean, again, the upkeep is manageable. It's more manageable than some of the others that we just talked about, the Pit Lords and whatnot. And it.
Think about how much Rakdos hurts you when you attack with it. And this isn't that bad.
Well, yeah, nowhere near that bad.
Sorry, Mike. I know you like your Rakdos.
Yeah, he does.
Oh, of course I do.
He's awesome.
Yeah, seriously.
Huh. Well, are we out of things to talk about for this guy?
Let's move on to the next.
Right. What were we talking about again?
Hit fast forward, Chewy.
Yes, sir. So this may seem a bit odd since we just did the binder pull last week, but well, by now you guys can tell why this is different. So what we're going to do is we're going to Brian has picked out a few cards to talk about, and we're going to just go off on them. Shall we?
Let's go.
These are some great cards.
Did you just woo?
Why not?
Oh, okay, fair enough.
I think you're right to do that.
So first up, oh yeah. Wait, what country are we in? Never mind. First up, we have a rare from Darksteel, Greater Harvester. It costs 2 and 3 black for a 5/6 horror. At the beginning of your upkeep, sacrifice a permanent. And when Greater Harvester deals combat damage to a player, that player sacrifices 2 permanents.
Oh, yeah.
So, opinions?
Well, that's a nice card.
I remember when they either previewed this before Mirrodin back, you know, in the old days.
Or Darksteel.
Or Darksteel. Or in the weeks leading up to the pre-release, or I heard about it at the pre-release, and I was like, wow, that seems really good. And I thought, man, I should open one of those and smash somebody with it. And I had to trade for them later because I didn't open any. But they can be quite devastating when they hit play, if managed correctly.
I was going to say, the upkeep isn't that bad, but...
Yeah, it's just one permanent.
I have several, or at least one, or probably two, in my binder, just sitting there, because in multiplayer, there's really not much chance to get through. I don't remember if you did anything with them, Brian, did you?
I think I tried to find some sort of evasion, and then I realized I could kill someone with Phage the same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mike?
I think I might even have 3 of these, and when I first saw it, I was like, oh, man. And then, you know, they were in a deck that I made one time because I was bored, but it was a deck that I hated immediately and took apart before I ever played it. But it's really impressive all around.
Hmm.
See, I can't say I've played against it myself, but I always thought that it'd be a fun, like it's upkeep. I'm a very conservative kind of player, and I typically don't want to get rid of stuff if I don't have to, which makes this card the one that I probably would not play with, but I could definitely see the advantages to playing with it.
Hmm.
And when I say impressive, I don't necessarily mean in a very, very good card way, but in a potential for a lot of fun way.
Yeah, that would be us.
Yes, indeed. So, we have some Magic news, just a little bit. They did the banned and restricted list update just after we recorded, of course.
Of course.
And there are some doozies on this list. Standard is just never going to be the same, what with its no changes. And same with extended and pretty much everything, actually. In Vanguard Online, they knocked 1 card in hand off of the Reaper King and the Necrotal avatars because they're really way too good. And they're capable of incredibly explosive starts, so they've been changed to heavy would start with 1 less card in hand. Demonic Tutor is restricted in Online Classic, which is funny because Demonic Tutor is not in Online Classic yet.
But it will be
once they release Divine vs. Demonic. And Glittering Wish has been banned in Kaleidoscope, even though there's no such thing as Kaleidoscope. But yes, Kaleidoscope is a new upcoming format where every non-land card must be multicolored, right?
Correct.
So, really? So no artifacts?
Well, that's nifty. Transguild Courier, and all of the stuff from Esper, or at least the multicolored stuff from Esper, Tide Hollow Strix. But no artifacts.
Very interesting.
Means your mana fixing is going to be also interesting.
Yeah, everyone would be playing Exploding Borders.
Yeah, you know, of course they're rolling it out just in time to line up with Shards of Alara, so everyone can buy up shards to play Kaleidoscope online.
It's true. And actually, speaking of Alara, they have shown the.
Alara Reborn, I think I said Shards of Alara again.
Well, same thing. They have shown the intro packs. If I can open the freaking website. They've shown the intro packs for Alara
Reborn.
And the freaking, it's totally, the magic website just hates me some days. Always when I'm recording and I need it. Here we go. And there are, what, 5 of them?
There are 5, just like in the past 2 sets.
And this is weird, because each one is 2 colors.
And not 3.
And not 3. Legion Aloft is blue-white. Unnatural Schemes is blue-black. Oh, yeah. Legion Aloft, you get the Filigree Angel as the shiny rare. We don't know what it does yet. It costs 5, 2 white, and at least 1 blue. Actually, I'm not even going to bother reading off the mana cost, because I can't tell if that's the whole cost or not. But anyway, Filigree Angel. Unnatural Schemes gets you the the Lich Lord of Unks. Dead Ahead is black and red, which gets you the Deathbringer Thoktar. That just sounds wrong. Rumbler is the red-green one, which gets you Spellbreaker Behemoth. Ooh. Spellbreaker. Is there already one that gives a creature with power 5 or greater Shroud?
You know, I don't know.
I don't either. That's just a random guess. And the green-white one is called Eternal Siege, and the creature is Dauntless Escort.
A magic deck called Eternal Siege just really doesn't say fun to me.
It really doesn't, does it?
Because I know we've all sat through some Eternal Siege games.
Yeah.
Well, the thing that I find interesting about these is the creatures that you see are all... We've talked about the shards overlapping and all that, but now they're completely merged. Filigree Angel is... Angels are in Bant. Filigree is in Esper.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Deathbringer Thoktar. Deathbringer sounds like Jund, maybe...
Grixis.
Grixis, and then Thoktar is Naya. So, interestingness.
Very interesting. Sweet.
I thought so.
Yeah, that's our... Did we have any more magic news? They haven't officially revealed anything else about Alara Reborn, although we never did talk about Ardent Plea, which was a preview card they showed a while ago that I'm sure everybody knows about by now. It had the name, the casting cost, the art, and the collector information and artist information and all that. And the collector number on Ardent Plea was 1, which implies that there are no monocolored cards in the set because, well, they're numbered alphabetically starting with white. They're numbered in Wooburg order. So once you get done with white, you go to blue, and then black, red, green, and then you go to multicolored, and then you go to artifact, and then you go to land. So, with Ardent Plea being 1, it's a blue-white card. That would imply that there are no monocolored cards, which is both really cool and kind of scary at the same time.
You remember Legions? And its total lack of anything but creatures?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but you could fake creature that with the whole morph thing. It's going to be kind of hard without hybrid to fake monocolored.
That's true. Be interesting to see what they do.
It will be.
I'm waiting with bated breath, but not the whole time.
I don't even know what that means. What does bated breath mean anyway? Does that mean you have a worm on a hook?
I prefer a carrot.
Ah, yes. Excellent. What? Right then. So, I guess we should jump right into the topic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Hello again, and welcome to the Mana Pool. This is episode 73 of the Mana Pool. The Mana Pool is sponsored by CardShark.com, a better way to buy and sell collectible card games. You think?
I think.
Therefore, I am. And then he said, "Hey, Renee, you want a drink?" Renee went, "I think not," and he vanished. Well, I thought it was funny.
I don't get
it. I just remember there was a blonde joke about the girls looking in the mirror and, you know, disappearing, and then the blonde goes, "I think," and then she disappeared into the mirror.
Anyway.
It's like whenever you told a lie.
And he said Candyman three times, and then the Great Pumpkin appeared. Right then.
Yeah, I remember that. That was awesome.
Oh, that was you, wasn't it? Lord.
Mike's a blonde?
I am, yes. There's a carpet drapes there joke somewhere. I'm just going to leave it alone. I am utterly embarrassed at what's going on here. I am the Chewy, and with me as always are some dorks. Who's out there?
I'm Brian, and I am not a blonde.
I'm Mike, and no, I'm not a blonde either. I was just in the joke.
And I'm Dirk, the greenest man alive, and I'm definitely not a blonde. More like a brown slash redhead.
Brunette slash redhead.
Anyway. At least I'm not a redneck.
That's a... Yeah, nah, never mind. I don't even know where I was going to go with that. Anyway. Yeah. And, you know, of all the random opening skits that we always do, I really liked that one. You know, the flow of it worked really well, and I think we should do that.
I agree.
Skits? What? What are you guys talking about? Plus a comment on, like, conversation. What are you guys talking about?
And there he went. That skit we just recorded, the one before the music?
Yeah.
That we always do, you know?
It's pretty short.
Oh.
Oh, okay. I wasn't even really counting that as a skit. It was just us talking, but okay, yeah.
Well,
we should totally do that.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Ooh. The music that you, wait a minute. Yeah, the music you just heard was actually the theme to Back to the Future by John Williams from, well, the movie Back to the Future.
Did John Williams do that?
Yeah, man, I think so. Didn't he? Oh, good Lord. Did I just lie? Quick, look it up.
You kind of disappear into the mirror.
Ah.
All right, Back to the Future soundtrack. Here it is. Oh, no, it was Alan Silvestri.
The music you just heard was the Back to the Future soundtrack, not a Back to the Future theme by Alan Silvestri.
And not John Williams.
Huh. That means wherever I got it on iTunes lied. Because my
that
iTunes...
That surprises us.
My iTunes... I did not download it from iTunes, because that would be proper. Anyway, my iTunes is wrong. Yes, by Alan Silvestri, because it got stuck in my head a couple days ago, and now I'm going to get it stuck in all of your heads.
And in fact, it's already stuck in their heads.
Oh, yeah, it is. It's actually oddly appropriate. Anyway. You can send us an email at themanapool@cardshark.com. You can check out the forums at cardshark.freeforums.org. Space Ninja has started up a Guess the Card Art thing there that Garthok84 is currently destroying. He's like, I know all of these except for this one. And what else? You can check out the Facebook group. We have a Facebook group. We have a couple of new members on the Facebook group. Omar Hernandez and Emily, I'm totally going to butcher this, Zeliga? Yes, you. Thank you very much. Terribly sorry for destroying your name, but, you know, that's what I do. And email, forums, I guess that's that. And I have dorks with me. We'll be right back. You're a jerk. Ooh, hey guys. Do you know what movie I just saw? Let me think. What's the day? Tuesday.
So
I guess I just saw it on... I don't guess it matters when I saw it. You guys know what movie I just watched again? I really love...
Superman.
I hate... Wait, which one?
I don't know. I was guessing.
Oh, okay. As long as it's not the first one. Okay, no guess is good.
Care Bears.
Movie. No, it was...
Animal House?
Animal House. No, that was a couple weeks ago. Remember, that was the... We did that episode already. No. I just watched Memento again a few days ago. I freaking love that movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's the movie where every other scene moves backwards. That's cool.
I never saw it. How easy is it to follow?
You never saw Memento?
I never got around to seeing it.
Oh, my God. If you weren't in Georgia, I would let you borrow it.
Well, basically, if you are able to follow the fact that you're watching a short scene, and then in a minute you're about to watch a short scene that happened right before, chronologically, the scene you just saw, you get it. So you're watching like minutes 55 through 60 of an hour, and then you watch minutes 50 through 55. Like if we did an episode where we kept continuously starting at the back and then moving forward. Like right now we'd be at the end, but we'd be at the beginning.
Uh-huh. Oh man, that's a really good idea. Dude, we should talk. Dude, April Fool's is next week.
It is next week.
Oh, we should totally do that.
We should totally do that.
Yeah, totally.
Sounds funny. Huh.
We'll have to remember that. Anyway, I guess I'll play the music and we can get started. How's that sound?
Yep, sounds great.
Okay.
All right.
Let's do it.